Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 9, Text 12, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Mogha sha mogha karamano, mogha jnana vicheta saha, rakshasim asurin chaiva prakriting mohining shritaha. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Purport: there are many devotees who assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, but at heart do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the Absolute Truth. For them, the fruit of devotional service, going back to Godhead, will never be tasted. Similarly, those who are engaged in fruitive, pious activities, and who are ultimately hoping to be liberated from this material entanglement, will never be successful either, because they deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. In other words, persons who mock Krishna are understood to be demonic or atheistic. As described in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, such demonic miscreants never surrender to Krishna. Therefore, their mental speculations to arrive at the Absolute Truth bring them to the false conclusion that the ordinary living entity and Krishna are one and the same. With such a false conviction, they think that the body of any human being is now simply covered by material nature, and that as soon as one is liberated from this material body, there is no difference between God and himself. This attempt to become one with Krishna will be baffled because of delusion. Such atheistic and demoniac cultivation of spiritual knowledge is always futile. That is the indication of this verse. For such persons, cultivation of the knowledge in the Vedic literature, like the Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads, is always baffled. It is a great offense, therefore, to consider Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to be an ordinary man. Those who do so are certainly deluded because they cannot understand the eternal form of Krishna. The Brihad Vishnu Smriti clearly states, Yo veti bhutikam deham krishnasya paramatmanaha sasarvasmad bahishkarya shrota smarta vidhanataha mukhyam tasyavalokya pi sachelang snanam acharet. One who considers the body of Krishna to be material should be driven out from all rituals and activities of the Shruti and the Smriti. And if by chance one sees his face, one should at once take bath in the Ganges to rid himself of infection. People jeer at Krishna because they are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their destiny is certainly to take birth after birth in the species of atheistic and demoniac life. Perpetually their real knowledge will remain under delusion, and gradually they will regress to the darkest region of creation. Mogha sha mogha karmano mogha jnana vichetasaha rakshasim asurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shritaha. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. In the first sentence of the translation of this verse, the word thus is used, which means it's referring to a statement made previously. The statement made previously, the previous verse, states, avajananti mang murha manushing tanamashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhutam ahishvaram. Krishna says that fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. So then Krishna goes on to describe such people who do not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That persons who see Krishna or hear about Krishna but don't accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are not favorably treated by Krishna. Krishna is very kind to everyone. Krishna is Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. He's the well-wisher of all living beings, but that doesn't mean that he necessarily speaks well of all living beings. He says that those avajananti mam murha, those who do not properly understand me, are murha, fools, rascals. So how is he the friend of all living beings if he's calling such names? We may think that to be the friend of someone, a friend of someone is someone who speaks nicely about you, is it not? But someone who is your real friend may not always speak nicely of you. There's a difference between a friend and a flatterer. One who flatters is not a friend. One who speaks what is required to be spoken, even if it's not palatable, is a friend. Of course, there's the well-known saying of Manu, that satyam bruyat priyam bruyat, ma bruyat satyam apriyam, that one should speak the truth, one should speak in a pleasing manner, and even the truth should not be spoken in an unpleasing manner. But this can be understood to mean also, ma bruyat satyam apriyam, that one should not speak the truth which is unpleasant, but from the transcendental point of view, from the spiritual point of view, one should speak the truth, even if it appears unpleasant, because satya, what is actually the truth, can never actually be unpleasant. It's only unpleasant to people who are unpleasant themselves. Persons who are envious of Krishna. Because satya, the truth, is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are all his eternal servants. This is the fact. So there should be no unpleasantness in speaking the truth. There's nothing unpleasant in the statement that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are all his eternal servants. But it appears unpleasant to persons who are envious of Krishna. It seems to be unpleasant. So what's more important, to speak what people like to hear or what they need to hear? Obviously, it's more important to speak what they need to hear. Just like if you go to someone goes to the doctor and he gives you a certain medicine and it tastes horrible, and he gives to your two brothers go, and one brother gets sweet tasting medicine and the other one gets bitter tasting medicine, he said, well, why don't you give me the nice taste? I don't know, is any medicine nice tasting? Some can be. Cough syrup, they put a lot of sugar in this and that. So they may say, why don't you give me why are you biased against me? You're giving him the sweet medicine and me the bitter medicine, which tastes nasty and horrible. But it's according to need. What we need and what we want are often not the same things. Usually they're not. In material consciousness, what we need and what we want are always different, because we need Krishna. But in material consciousness means that we don't want Krishna. And in spiritual consciousness, our need and our desire are the same. So that means proper consciousness. If something that we need is different from what we want, that means we're in a consciousness which is works against our own self-interest. We want something which we don't need or maybe actually harmful for us. And the thing that we need, we don't want. So it's just like, again, someone may not want to take the medicine that they need. But if they don't take it, even though they need it, because you don't take the medicine because it doesn't taste nice. But in the meantime, your disease is getting worse and worse. So Krishna speaks what needs to be spoken. And he says that persons who avajananti, this it means literally one who does not properly know. One who does not properly know me, Krishna says, is a murha, a fool and a rascal. And Srila Prabhupada translates this as one who derides me. Because to fail to recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you may say, well, that's not directly blasphemy. But it comes out as the same thing. If you say that, if one thinks that Krishna is an ordinary person, then even due to lack of knowledge, that is blasphemy, because you should know. It's just like the Prime Minister of India walks in to your apartment, which is not very likely, but just giving a theoretical example. And you just treat him as an ordinary person. You don't know, but you should know. As a citizen of the country, you should know who the head of state is, especially if he comes to your apartment, and treat him accordingly. If you just treat him like some ordinary person, then that is an offense. Actually, Krishna is so kind that even though the Prime Minister of India is not likely to, or who's the head of Kuwait? Amir of Kuwait. So it's not very likely he'll come to your apartment. But Krishna, who's unlimitedly times greater than any head of state, he'll come if you're willing to accept him. So let's just see how kind Krishna is. But then we have to recognize if we neglect him, we don't treat him properly, stick him in one corner and watch, you know, have the deity, but you're watching TV all the time and don't care for Krishna, then that becomes an offense. So one should properly know who he is. To fail to treat him properly is equivalent to blaspheming him. Because if someone's in such an important position and you fail to offer them proper respect, then that becomes offensive. So Krishna says that persons who are bewildered in this way, who fail to recognize Krishna, they think they're just some other human being. You see that, well, other people, they became humans. You see, they previously we're all going through the cycle of birth and death, so probably Krishna also, he got this body by his karma, you hear all kinds of strange explanations, that because Ram killed Vali by shooting him, so Krishna got killed in the same way by, you see, all kinds of, so people, very sinful explanations, misexplanations of Shastra. So people may think that, well, someone in their previous life, they were cats and dogs and monkeys. So Krishna also in his previous life was a tortoise, and first a fish, tortoise, then a pig. But that's all his divine leela. That's not that he's taking different bodies according to mundane reactions to pious and sinful activities. And then he got half lion, half. Well, that proves that he's God, because no one, and whatever karma you get, you don't get a half lion, half man body. Then he was born as the brother of Indra. You might think, well, that's very good karma. And like this, you can go on making various explanations. But janma karma cha me divyam, Krishna's appearance and activities are all completely transcendental. Parambhava majananto, they do not know my supreme nature. So people who don't know this, mogha sha mogha karma, no, they are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. They have various misconceptions concerning Krishna and various misconceptions regarding everything else. They think, well, Krishna's an ordinary person, or as is Srila Prabhupada has elaborated on in the purport, they think that many people think that liberation means that you become God. So it's a common misconception, and people may think, well, it's from the devotional point of view, you may think, well, it's just it's a misconception or a misunderstanding. Just like if there's a misunderstanding, we should not take it too seriously. If someone, just like someone just this evening said to me, I go to the temple daily, and I heard I go to the temple in Delhi. You see, so it's a misunderstanding. So if on the basis, of course, that's a very harmless misunderstanding, but try to think of another one. You could say, I went to someone's house, but someone misunderstands the name, and they hear the name of some, you know, some gunda or something like this. And you say, well, why is he going to that gunda's house? And then you report to others, you see, he's associating with this bad elements. You be careful of him. So it's a misunderstanding. So that can cause problems, but you maybe not blame the person too much for misunderstanding the situation. So a misunderstanding is, someone should be a little generous if there's some, not blame the person too much for, the misunderstanding can be caused by not hearing something, or it can be caused by just wrongly interpreting something. You see, someone may look at you and you think they're looking at you in an angry way, but they're not. You may think they don't like me, but they may not even be noticing you. They may have some bad look on their face, but they might not. They may be thinking of something completely different. So, or someone, you invite them to some function and they don't come, and they tell you they were sick, and you think they're just making an excuse, but actually they were sick. So these kind of misunderstandings can occur. Here's an anecdote I heard. I don't know if it's true, but it's it brings home the point of how you can misunderstand people's intentions. That one man was sitting on a park bench. You have any parks in Kuwait? I doubt it. They don't bother making parks, do they, for the people? No. There are some. Yeah. All right. Got it. Okay, I'll withdraw that statement because I see it's a misunderstanding on my part that I thought they don't do anything whatsoever for the people, but something they do, some little things. So one man was sitting on a park bench, sitting on one side, and another man came and he sat down, and his children were there, two, three children. They were running around and screaming, and the man was just sitting and ignoring them, and the children were ignoring the man who was first sitting there, who became a little disturbed, and he said to the man who had just come, "You know, why don't you control your children? They're just running around wild." He said, I'm sorry, but I didn't think of it, you see, because actually what happened is their mother just died, and I'm just trying to think how to tell them. So, oh, and then you think, oh, you don't want to criticize him because he's in such a happening. His wife just died, and he has to tell the children and this and that. You can't blame him for being distracted. Ordinarily, you might do. So, misunderstandings, we tend to be, or we should be, somewhat generous with that. Hope that the people, they have some misunderstanding, but they're not badly intentioned, but just they misunderstood, they misinterpreted the situation. Just like the man who was sitting on the park bench, he misinterpreted that the other person was just neglectful and letting his children disturb other people. But, well, he was neglectful, but it wasn't out of irresponsibility, but because it's quite acceptable that your mind will be completely distracted if your wife just died. It's quite understandable. You shouldn't blame someone if their mind is distracted in such a situation. Now, here we see that, and coming back to the Bhagavad Gita verse, we see that Krishna seems to be not very broad-minded in describing the people who have misunderstandings about him. He says that they're attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, moghasha, mogha karmana. They're baffled, their hopes are baffled, their work is baffled, their jnana, their knowledge is baffled. He really is. Almost every word of this verse is just—it's highly condemning. So you may say, "Well, how is even an ordinary person is a bit more broad-minded than that? How is Krishna so strongly condemning such people, especially when he's supposed to be the best friend of everyone, and he's just so heavy with such people?" Well, the reason is that it's the misunderstanding of such people, it's not just due to not hearing properly, or there's some mitigating circumstance. It's actually inexcusable and an offense for anyone to not be Krishna conscious and to be envious of Krishna. There's no excuse for that. Recently in Norway, this one man who went and shot so many people, they killed so many people cold-bloodedly. The verdict was passed down by the court that, well, he did it due to insanity. And most of the people of Norway were not very satisfied with that. They just thought he's an evil person who deserves to be punished. He did it in a very calculating manner, and he doesn't show, after killing, he didn't show any sign of remorse. He seems to be just completely evil. Of course, they do that every day to so many animals, and they don't care. But thanks to Christian theology, that God made the animals for us to kill, and then that was ratified by modern science, which says that anyway, there's no such thing as a soul. People are not very satisfied with that. I mean, they see that there's something. You can just call it insane, but it's, and let him off or give him some light, not punish him actually on that basis. But the man is basically evil. So how does this apply to the to persons who are envious of Krishna, who don't want to accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Yeah, are they evil or are they insane? It has to be one or the other, because they've made a very serious mistake, and by envying Krishna, they are acting in a manner which is exceedingly wrong, very seriously wrong. You may say, well, what's the big thing? You see, everyone, you can't expect to like everyone. Everyone has someone they don't like. So what's wrong with that, with saying that we don't like Krishna? Well, an intelligent person picks his enemies wisely. You don't just make friends or enemies with anyone. You see? So to be envious of Krishna, it's a mistake. Everyone makes mistakes. But to be envious of Krishna is the worst mistake that anyone could ever do. And that is the mother of all mistakes. It is inherently wrong. There's something basically wrong with a person who doesn't want to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender to him. You may say, well, wait a minute. Everyone in the world doesn't accept Krishna. Hardly anyone accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and wants to surrender to him. So how can you say that there's something basically wrong with people like that when you see everyone's like that? Well, yeah, it's true. There's something basically wrong with everyone in this world. And that's why there are wars and birth and death and old age and disease and famine and discontent. And that's the cause of all the problems. Because we are envious of Krishna. You may say, well, it's normal, and yeah, well, that's why it's normal in the material world to suffer. Because we've accepted this evil proposition. This is the mother of all evil, that to not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. Then we become envious of Krishna. We become envious of all other living beings. The Abrahamic religion, there's this idea of Satan. It means they have this idea that there was an angel who rebelled against God and became an enemy of God. But actually, we're all Satan, because we're all in that situation. You may blame the evil on Satan, but we're all in that situation. Therefore, we find in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Purusha sukhadukhanam bhuktritve hetu ruchyate, that the happiness and distress that every living being experiences in that world, in this world, what is the cause of that? It's a big problem for the Abrahamic religions, because it's a philosophical problem. Because why is there suffering? If God is good, then why is there suffering in the world? They can't answer it. So they say that someone ate an apple. Adam and Eve ate an apple. God told them not to, and they did. And then after that, everyone has to suffer. It doesn't make any sense at all. That why God should be so whimsical as to punish every human being because someone disobeyed the order not to eat some fruit from a tree. So, but the actual fact is that we are in this situation of suffering in this material world because of our own individual misuse of our minute independence. That we understand from Bhagavad Gita. That is the real problem. The real problem, we can't give the problem to someone else. What's that called when you give the job? Outsourcing. Yeah, we can't outsource our karma or blame it on someone else. That actually, you see, it's not really my fault, but my, you know, great, 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 go back, you know, 10 to the power of something very big, and grandfather ate an apple. And that's why, you know, I've got boils and a bad back, and my wife's always beating me, and my boss is always beating me, and my mind is always beating me, and you know, because you know, many countless generations ago, someone took a bite from an apple. So this is not theology. This is foolishness. But we ourselves are the cause of our own problems. We make our own problems. And the root cause of all of that is simply envy of Krishna. It's not an innocent misconception. It is a guilty misconception. It is intrinsically, inherently wrong to have such an attitude of envy to Krishna, because jiva swarup hoy Krishna nitya das. That is our position, to serve Krishna, to love Krishna. What's wrong with loving Krishna? Why don't we love Krishna? Krishna is most lovable. Krishna never does it. He doesn't do anything harmful to us. He only wishes the best for us. But out of our misuse of our minute independence, then we accept viparyaya asmritihi. We forget Krishna, and we have an opposite way of thinking in from the proper way. Bhayam dvitiya abhinivesita syat ishadapetasya viparyaya smritihi. We enter this world of fear, becoming absorbed in the external energy, because we're envious of Krishna. We don't want to accept that he is the supreme controller. Then our consciousness becomes opposite to what it should be. And we forget Krishna, or we don't accept Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. So it is condemnable. It is both evil and insane, because we've brought this situation on ourselves. It's actually insane. Why should we do that? You may say, well, why should anyone be so foolish and act so much against their own self-interest as to forget Krishna? It's insane, but that is the situation in this material world. People, however intelligent they may seem to be, everyone in this material world is a fool, even the big university professors, because they're simply acting as if this material world is a place of happiness. They're simply acting as if life is meant for our own enjoyment, even if they're religious, they think, well, the purpose of religion is that I will, I'll worship God and he will make me happy in heaven forever. The idea that we're supposed to act for his happiness, they never think of such a thing. They're completely self-centered. Or they may think, I'll get mukti, and then I'll just merge into some light, and again they would avoiding Krishna. So it's not just an innocent misunderstanding or an innocent misconception, but it's actually very, very envious of Krishna. So Krishna speaks like this. You may say, well, it's not very friendly. Well, he's reciprocating. Yayata mang prapadyante tang sthaiva bhajami aham. People are unfriendly to Krishna. Krishna's unfriendly to them. But Krishna, by his very nature, is friendly to everyone. Suhridam sarva bhutanam. So even his apparent unfriendliness, that's actually for the benefit of those persons. Krishna doesn't inherently hate them. He wants to uplift them. But he makes the situation very clear that it's not just some, you know, minor fault or some idiosyncrasy that